Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Wednesday. The new league year has begun. As of 1 hour ago, the NFL has welcomed in 2025 as a going concern, so to speak. Free agency has officially started, and some of the deals that we've seen reported over the course of the last 2 days have started to become official. Teams announcing said deals. I would suspect with the Packers, we'll probably wait a little bit here still. They have not announced anything, but usually the Packers like to make sure the guy is in the building and has taken a physical, dotted all their I's, crossed their T's before announcing anything. So I would suspect we'll see that roll out either tonight or tomorrow. Of course, big news in the NFL today, the cutting of Cooper Kupp and the flooding of my mentions regarding will the Packers have interest. And a number of different accounts indicating that the Packers would be interested, are interested, etc. I'm pretty reticent to go down that path. I'm going to be very, very surprised if the Packers actually show any kind of real significant interest for a couple of different reasons. Obviously, the contract being one of them, but also Kupp himself getting up there in age, having come off a couple of injury-riddled season. Yes, he's still talented and could probably help the Packers in a couple of different ways, but the presence of Jaden Reed really makes that a non-starter for me, and I suspect the Packers. It's not like Cooper Kupp is going to be running on the perimeter, which is where the Packers, I'm not going to say desperately need the help, but mostly need the help with their wide receiver group. With Jaden Reed handling a lot of the stuff that you would ask Cooper Kupp to do, not only does it feel redundant, it feels like you'd be stunting the growth of one of your young ascending players. And make no mistake, Jaden Reed is ascending. And I know he is coming off a, I think it's fair to say, frustrating second season in the NFL. But we know the Packers and their patience and development and investment when it comes to their young players. I buy Gutekunst at his word when he talked about, both in his season-ending press conference and when we heard from him at the Combine, still believing in this group and thinking he expects one or more of them to step to the fore and become maybe not a traditional number one wide receiver, but a focal point of their offense. And I think Jaden Reed still has all of that potential upside and promise to offer Green Bay. And I don't see how they're going to reach that with this player who they've now invested 2 years in by bringing in a player who not only will cost them a lot and not contribute on special teams, but essentially take snaps from the guy you're hoping and expecting to take a big step in year three. That's not to say it's impossible, not to say that it won't happen, but I will be very surprised if the Packers go down that road, because essentially Jaden Reed should be entering his prime and he should be ready to break out with the Packers here in 2025. I don't doubt for a moment they'll continue to explore every avenue, free agency, trades, what have you. Certainly, I expect at least one wide receiver to be added via the draft. But for my money, I would expect Jaden Reed to be a major focal point of the offense and for the Packers to continue to count on his development and growth and to become a star in the NFL. I do not doubt for a moment that Reed himself is probably chomping at the bit after, like I said, a bit of a disappointing second season. Obviously, the drops were a major issue, something he has got to clean up, but every bit of athleticism and potential is still there, and I expect it to get unlocked starting here in 2025. That is me. Your mileage may vary, as it often does, and I see so many folks already chiming in the comments. Johnny Rivers, good to see you, man. Jim is here. Dennis, all the regulars are showing up. You love to see it. Sean starting us off with a super chat. How are you, man? Nags, just in time to get my daily dose of Cheesehead TV. Hope you're all having a blessed day. Is it Aziz time? Man, I hope so. He is still out there, and the Packers are still exploring opportunities and potential fits when it comes to adding to their pass rush. I know Felipe wrote him up on Cheesehead TV, the website. You can check that out from a couple days ago. I think he makes a lot of sense. I do know when Brian was asked about smaller players with, I think in the pantheon of what the Packers do, Ojulari would be considered on the smaller side for an edge player in this defense. Brian's concern there was, and not particular to this player, but to players of that stature, love the idea of a guy playing 15, 20 snaps a game, screaming off the edge on third down and racking up sacks. But the moment you suffer injuries up front to a Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, and Igbari, et cetera, now you're counting on a guy like Ojulari to play 50, 60 snaps a game and to hold up against 320-pound offensive tackles in the run game, et cetera, on early downs, as opposed to just coming in on third down and pinning their ears back and getting after the quarterback. I think that's a legitimate concern, and I understand why it might make the Packers reticent to go down that road. But I do think it would make sense at the right number. And the fact that he hasn't been snapped up yet would tell me that his representatives probably haven't found a great market for him. I do think there's a chance that he sits out there for a day or two yet, and maybe the Packers are able to land him at a somewhat team-friendly rate. That would be my guess. It's Soder. What's up, man? Big news of the day was MVS. Nuts. Yes, Marquez Valdes-Scantling signing with the Seahawks on a one-year deal, just over $5 million. That is a move that I thought the Packers could explore, but clearly that was not to be. I think he would have made all the sense in the world in Green Bay this season as a one-year rental, waiting for Christian Watson to return for that particular role in the Packers offense, but 'twas not to be. John Schneider swooping in and landing him earlier this afternoon. Colin, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. How realistic are these rumors for Trey and Cooper? The Cooper thing, I talked about at the intro here. I'm going to be surprised if they go down that road. I do suspect the Packers have made a call like they do with every player, and the agent is now turning around and utilizing that when he's talking to media members and getting the Packers' name in the mix for interest, to drum up interest in his client. Something that Brian touched on last year when we talked to him here at Cheesehead TV, how the agent community often utilizes Packers and their connections or even just conversations to try and float the idea that a guy is a little more sought after than maybe he is. But as far as Trey Hendrickson, you know, it's something we talked about yesterday, my Justice and I. I'm not going to say it's impossible. It does feel like a big swing and probably a little too expensive for the Packers' blood, but never say never. I do think somebody like Dante Fowler, as I discussed yesterday with Justice, is a little bit more realistic and a little more likely. Ryan, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. What was having the youngest roster resulted in over the past 25 years? Yes, I'm including the Thompson years. It's time to do something different because this isn't working. Green Bay is behind everyone in the division. I love comments like that on literally day one of the new league year. I mean, they were often a very young squad. There's no doubt about that. And as frustrating as it was, they were pretty damn successful as far as winning football games and winning the division. Now, they never sealed the deal. The most heartbreaking part of that was 2014, obviously. But, you know, the idea that they were a complete train wreck during that time is a little far-fetched. As far as they're got to do something different, it feels like they are, you know, they're going to let this squad that was the youngest group mature a bit. They've added a couple of pieces. They'll add another draft class, and the competition in camp will most likely, not 100%, but most likely produce a squad that's a little bit older, a little bit more mature, and taking hopefully that proverbial next step. I mean, the idea that, you know, you've watched the Bears and the Vikings make a lot of signings for a lot of older players at very high rates. I understand that that's one way to operate, but that was never how the Packers were going to operate. And, you know, the old saying is don't mistake activity for achievement. Come back to me in November and we'll see where these teams are. I understand that headlines in March and April are exciting, but they don't always equal achievement in the end. Andrew Ware, how are you, man? Cup was cut for a reason. Miss me with that. All players have value. That's the thing. I don't doubt for a moment that that call has been made. And the idea being, look, if you don't find a deal out there that you were searching for initially and you want to come in to Green Bay on a very team-friendly deal, maybe they explore that possibility. But I'm mostly with you, man. I don't think it makes a ton of sense in Green Bay, but we'll see how they feel about it. Greg Jensen, thank you for the super sticker. Appreciate you, man. R. Smith, how are you, man? Salute, Aaron. Got to say, if it's a no on Jair, don't know if it's a yes on Cup. Seriously, talk about guys who are unable to stay on the field. And as of right now, 5:10 Eastern, 4:10 Central time, Jair Alexander is still a member of the Green Bay Packers, unless news has broken in the last 10 minutes while I've been live. I'm checking right now. I don't believe so. Jair's still on the squad. Of course, as we've talked about a couple of times, there's really no driver in his contract as far as a deadline goes. I think the only kind of deadline or even tentpole this offseason when it comes to a Jair decision is the draft. So the Packers will most likely hold on to him for a bit, although by having him still on the squad now after the new league year has begun, if and when they do release him, he can be counted as a June 1st cut to kind of split up the cap hit. Ed, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Whose job is it in the Packers organization to make sure you do not get your draft dream crush? I would say Brian Gutekunst, but he did sign draft Oladapo last year, so we'll see. That was one. That was the first time out of the 70 or 80 that I've given over the years that a draft crush has actually been drafted by the Packers, but mostly the general manager. So I would say Brian. JP, how are you, man? Unlike a lot of folks on Packers Twitter, I don't dislike Rodgers and don't want to dislike him, but it's war if he goes to the fucking Vikings. JP. Yeah, man, I'm pulling for it. I'm rooting for it. Although I do think that is the least likely outcome. I do think he's most likely deciding between the Steelers and the Giants. I suspect he ends up with the Steelers, but we'll see. We're still sitting here today. I know Schrager said today on NFL Network that he thinks there's a possibility this lasts for like weeks on end before we get a Rodgers decision. I think it'll come in the next couple of days, but we'll see. Hell, it could happen tonight. We'll find out. Raha, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Is it a bad sign that the Raiders didn't want to keep Hobbs but were willing to sign Stokes? Not necessarily. I think very much the idea with Stokes is it's a very cheap contract, and they're going to utilize him strictly as a perimeter corner who, you know, let's say it in deep kind of dime scenarios, holds up just fine. He did this past year once they stopped using him as a starter and used him as a reserve. On a cheap contract like that, they'll bring him to camp. They'll let him compete. Most likely, I suspect he'll have an opportunity to compete for a starting job with the Raiders. But it's a cheap deal. And, you know, the fact that they let Hobbs walk, I think, as far as what Pete Carroll wants to do on the defensive side of the ball, Hobbs is a, you know, a different type as far as being able to play a little bit more kind of inside outside. I think, you know, undoubtedly when you're talking about Pete Carroll, I think the length, when you're talking about Stokes and his arm length there, he's always loved that, running that cover three scheme that he made famous in Seattle. And sometimes it's just coming down to guys needing a new perspective and or change of scenery. I don't think there's a question that the Packers will be able to utilize Hobbs effectively in Halfley's scheme in ways that probably wouldn't have happened with Seattle or with the Raiders, as it were. Johnny Rivers, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member, man. Thank you. Nags, I know we won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy at the helm, but he did it with Bob's legacy. Do you think that it will affect... Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Mike McCarthy, but you mean Mark Murphy. But he did it with Bob's legacy. Do you think it will affect Murphy's legacy if we don't cash in soon? I think maybe a bit with certain folks, but I also understand that, you know, you can't take away that trophy that got won early in his tenure, regardless of the fact that, yes, he did come in after the transition from Harlan. But I do think, you know, if you pull back and look at his stewardship, and that's what that role is being a steward for a public entity. If you pull back and are honest about his stewardship as the head of the Packers throughout his tenure, I think it's more positive than negative. I don't think the fact that they just missed out on a Super Bowl a handful of times, both 2014, 2020, etc., I don't think that tarnishes it. I really don't. I mean, obviously, it's a disappointment, a very big one. But the way the franchise has continued to develop and grow under his tutelage and his watchful eye, it's hard for me to say, oh, that's going to be a black mark. I mean, it's, again, it will forever be a disappointment. I do not doubt that for a moment, but he certainly has maneuvered the Packers in a way to keep them viable for the next couple decades after his tenure is over, which is a big component of what that job is about. Klaus, how are you, man? Thank you for all your work. Do you think Goody will draft a quarterback? And how about Willis? Go Pack, go. Klaus, I asked him directly about that at the Combine regarding 2 years ago when he talked about wanting to get back to drafting a quarterback every year. And I brought it up because my point was, well, you drafted a quarterback, but he didn't make it out of camp. Is that still a belief that you want to lean into? And he said, very much so. You know, I don't doubt for a moment that he's going to continue to look at that position, especially on day three, for guys that they can develop. As far as Willis goes, you know, that might be a primary driver for why he would continue to look at quarterbacks, because Willis, for as well as he played when called upon last year, no question about it, he is entering the final year of his deal. And, you know, unless there's an extension at some point here this summer, which I would tend to doubt, at some point they're probably going to have to get ready for Willis to move on and sign a free agent deal somewhere. It would behoove them to have somebody, you know, on the roster already who's a year in the system and getting ready to maybe hopefully take that next step to be the primary backup. But that depends on the board falling a certain way and the guy being there and makes sense value-wise, et cetera. So there's a ways to go in that regard when it comes to potentially drafting a quarterback. But I definitely think that it will be on their radar in April. No question. Craig, thanks for the super chat, man. Do GMs talk through back channels prior to and during through free agency and draft to get a bead on who is targeting whom as to not waste cycles on someone? 1,000,000,000% yes. Now, some guys have more kind of tentacles throughout the league than others. But yes, 1,000%. These general managers who spend usually a very long time as pro personnel people, area scouts, what have you, as they're coming up, they form networks, you know, and they have relationships with people in other buildings. And a big component during this part of the year where you have the majority of your team building, whether it is free agency or the draft, you are in contact with guys you trust in other places. Now, that's not official, right? But that's a lot of what happens during that week in Indy. It certainly happens throughout the season as far as what's going on with certain teams. Guy, you may have a best friend that you used to work for 10 years ago, say, at some other house, and now you're both kind of in different places. You're still keeping in touch. You're still talking, you know? Now, I'm not saying that there are people spilling secrets or something like that, but certainly there's information being gleaned through relationships throughout the season in that regard. That absolutely happens. Raha, thanks again, man. Tom is the obvious next in line to get paid. Who's next after that? That's a good question. I think a big component about that will be who wins that left tackle job this summer. If Rashid Walker retains it and balls out this year, there's a chance he gets paid. I know it feels weird given that they just signed a guard in free agency and spent a first round pick last year on a tackle, but I think Walker could make a case. Another one to look at is potentially Romeo Doubs. It really depends on what they feel about him and how he performs this year throughout the season. I think there's a potential there for some kind of deal to get struck. And then, you know, there are the two guys who they could potentially pull fifth-year options on, but I don't think they will, for Quay Walker. But I think Quay was probably in line for a new deal heading into the final year of his rookie deal, as well as Devontae Wyatt. I think both of those guys are in line for an extension, although I think there's a possibility, much more so than with Quay, that they pull the trigger on the fifth-year option with Wyatt just to give themselves another year. Enrique, I'm going to destroy your name, so I'm not going to try and pronounce it. I appreciate you. Thank you for being a Carry the G Club member. Hi, Aaron. In your opinion, adding a fast man-beater wide receiver is enough to unlock the offense in 25? If not, with this addition, then what could accomplish it? That's going to be fascinating to find out. Adding a quote fast man beater is one thing. but you have to be able to block in the run game along the perimeter. If you are overwhelmed in that regard, you're not going to be much help because you're not going to be on the field more often than not. You're certainly not going to be on the field on early downs when you like to run the football. But then also you can get by people, but can you high point the ball? Can you take those 50-50 balls away from safeties and coverage? I mean, it takes a very special component to be all the things they need in that role. Some, you know, have been done better than others by the guys, whether it's Watson, MVS, whoever. But I do think they'll look to the draft to add something along those lines. But it's not like those players are plentiful and growing on trees. So you can just pluck them. I do think without that kind of addition, and I do think they'll add a little talent in the draft, but I think it's going to be incumbent upon Matt LaFleur to kind of unlock a lot more consistency and production out of the guys that they have on hand. And I suspect that is going to continue to mean them leaning into the running game to try and work open some play action looks and get these guys some advantageous matchups where they don't have to work so hard against man coverage. Because you saw when teams did go to man last year, especially down the stretch when Watson was out, they really struggled. And I do think a big part of this offseason is probably being spent by Matt and his staff working on that very problem. And knowing that there's a decent chance that they're not going to have Watson and or a type like that. They've got to be able to figure it out. And I trust that they will. BC Podcast, thanks for the super chat, man. Does Goody think Banks and Hobbs were the guys to get us over the hump? I get it. Both quality players. We're better now than we were before free agency. But I just feel like something is missing. I mean, that's a feeling. And that's not necessarily a fact. But I understand that feeling, and Lord knows I'm sitting here thinking I kind of feel what you're feeling. I understand that trepidation of, well, you see, especially in the division, lots of teams like making signings and adding talent, etc. But we all know that the Packers have always, always looked internally for development and guys to take forward steps. They know way more than we do when it comes to where these guys are on their trajectory and what they need, quote unquote, to add to unlock whatever potential might still be there. I get the trepidation. I really do. I don't want to be dismissive about it, but improvement from within has been the mantra for a very long time in Green Bay, and I suspect that will continue to be the case. Now, I've told you guys a million times, it's not the way I would operate, but I would be a terrible GM. They've forgotten more football than I'll ever know, so I kind of just have to give myself over to them and think, okay, they understand where the very young team is as far as its continued growth and development. And I suspect they think they're ready to take a big jump and a big step. Now, all of that said, do not forget, we are an hour and 23 minutes into the new league year. There's a whole lot left out there as far as maneuvers that they could pull, trades, something they could do in the draft, making a big swing for somebody with either draft picks or a player, etc. I'm not predicting any of that, but that's all still out there. As I said last night, and I was somewhat, you know, joking, but, you know, I remember when I woke up on a Saturday morning and saw a picture of Julius Peppers standing on Lambeau Field after signing a contract with the Packers that absolutely zero people had reported on, even talked about as a possibility. And I'm not saying something like that is going to happen. But I point that out to illustrate that if there's an organization that, you know, knows how to or will move in the shadows without anybody knowing, it's the Packers. And I'm not saying that's what they're doing right now, but it's possible. You can't say it's not. So I just say that, BC, to give you some hope. I don't want to give you a fool's hope or, you know, fake hope. But if that's the feeling you're having, that's a counter to that feeling. That maybe there is something brewing. We'll see. Ryan, thanks again, man. Do you think Rodgers will get the same reception Favre got if he goes to the Vikings and in his return after he retires? I do, actually, when he retires. I think he'll be welcomed, and I think he'll be celebrated 100%. Do I think he'll get the same reception? Are you talking about, like, when he comes back to Lambeau? I mean, I know you remember Brett was roundly and soundly and loudly booed. I actually don't think it'll be as visceral. I think there will certainly be lots of booing, and I do think people will give him shit. And like, I do not doubt that that will occur, but I don't feel like it'll be the same level of, I don't know, visceral. I don't want to say hatred, but it was close to it when Brett returned, just because Brett had made such a point of letting everyone know that he was trying to stick it to Ted Thompson and the Packers. Like, I just never have felt that Aaron has been, outside of Brian, like, he's clearly got his axe to grind with Brian, but he has gone out of his way as far as not only being appreciative of his time in Green Bay and the Packers organization, everything, all the people that he met there, et cetera, but, you know, just his actions as far as mentoring Jordan Love, you know, in a way that he never was by Favre. It's just all those kind of components where I do think people have a different, obviously have a very different relationship to Aaron as Packers fans than they did with Brett. Like, Brett, it felt personal. With Aaron, I don't think it'll be as over the top. But again, like I said, I'm sure he'll get booed because he'll be wearing purple. And, you know, obviously people will be cheering for him to maybe not go down, but to get beat. You know, there's no doubt about that. But yeah, I don't think it'll be as much as it was with Favre. Oh, BC Podcast, thanks so much for joining the Care of the G Club. Appreciate the support, man. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Care of the G Club members, Patreon members, don't forget, we have happy hour tonight at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, coming up here soon. The information is on your respective pages. I'll see you there. The rest of you, thank you so much. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.